You're listening to Panel Borders, an extract from Resonance FM's weekly show about the world of comic books. In this episode, I'm talking to the winner and the two runners-up of the Pride in Manga, Manga Jiman, competition which was hosted by the Japanese Embassy in London. A couple of weeks ago, I attended the prize-giving ceremony of Manga Jiman, which was set up to look for new manga creators living in Britain. Refreshingly, but perhaps not unusual for the medium, out of the 10 artists shortlisted, 6 are female, including the winner and the first runner-up. However, in reverse order before I get to Asia and Gillian, who won a laptop and a trip to Japan respectively for their entries, I'm talking to Michael Katchar, the winner of the third prize in the competition, about his humorous short tale of competition noodle cook-offs.
Seeing a 17-year-old win a competition like this, actually, it's very encouraging that obviously if you're breaking into a new art form like this, you can never start too young.
No, passion will always be age any day. If you love something, then you just go for it. And it's important not to use age as an excuse, because lots of people say, oh, I'm only 15, I can try again next year. I can enter competitions again some other time. But yeah, just go for it. Just don't think about it too much. Just jump in there.
It almost seems a stereotype that, you know, kids doodle at school and, you know, draw comics or whatever, and that's seen as a waste of their time. But you've been drawing manga since you're 11, and obviously refined it to the point that you're now winning competitions.
Ah, that just goes to show there's still a lot of things that adults have to learn about children then. And yeah, sure, if you want to start at the age of 11 doodling, which a lot of people do, that needs support. I believe anything, if you have a passion or if you have something you aspire to, you need support. So, yeah.
When did you first start reading manga?
I watched anime originally. I watched Cowboy Bebop when it used to be on CNX before it got taken down. And I saw the manga in the shops and I thought, whoa, it's back to front. Maybe they printed it wrong. That's why it's so cheap. So I picked that up. I thought, wow, so this is manga. It's like comics, but different. So since then, I'd been, collecting more manga and was eventually inspired to do my own, particularly by shonen-esque titles. That's my favorite type of manga.
Were regular comics something that didn't really appeal to you until you came across manga?
No, I'm a big fan of quite a few Marvel series. I love Spider-Man. Quite a big fan of X-Men. My friends are more the Marvel experts, so if something's a must-have, they'll pass it on to me, and I'll take a look at it from there.
Well, I won't take this opportunity to ask whether you think One More Day was a terrible idea or not. When it came to choosing the subject matter for your manga, I mean, did you go through, like, you know, various sort of thought process as, oh, I'll do one about a food competition, I'll do something autobiographical, you know?
I thought to myself, I wanted to do, I love shonen manga, and in shonen manga you get loads of characters, wacky characters from different backgrounds, and so when I decided that I wanted to do a shonen manga but try to fit it into 6 pages, which is very difficult, I thought I need characters that the audience can automatically empathize with. So, and something that I think all humans can empathize with is passion. So each of these chefs have a different passion in my manga that that means a lot to them. So, yeah.
Because a lot of TV these days seems to be obsessed with food. You know, to the extent that, I mean, you know, food porn has become a term because we look at all these beautiful dishes on TV and then go and buy a takeaway. But there seems to be nothing quite as exciting as, you know, like the Iron Chef that they have in America.
Oh, the Iron Chef. Yes, I was actually, before I'd done it, I researched by typing in, looking at Iron Chef and the Japanese Iron Wok thing. They're excellent. So I done a bit of research and I love ramen noodles. So that was obviously another good choice, another reason I chose what I did.
So eating Japanese food came sort of hand in hand with enjoying manga, or was it different stages of your life?
I thought, love manga, so therefore it's come from Japan. I think I'll give something else Japanese a try. So try to get into the culture, and I thought, wow, culture's excellent. Try to get into the food. Food's excellent. People are excellent. So yeah, I think once you get into manga, it's just a natural progression to build into the next door form. Yeah.
So you enjoy computer games and samurai movies and...
I wish I had enough time for computer games. I would do, but I've got college, and when I'm not in college, I'm drawing, and I really want to make something, so I will, yeah. But I do enjoy samurai movies. Yeah, they're good.
What course are you studying?
I'm taking arts, English, and drama. But I've quit drama because it was taking up too much of my time, and I had no time to draw, so, yeah.
So you channel any kind of perhaps acting ideas you might have had into the way that your characters are portrayed on the page?
Yeah.
If I'm not, you know, stretching the idea too much.
No, not. I think it's really hard to put into words. Sorry, could you repeat the question?
So you gave up drama, but as a manga artist, obviously all the characters on the page have to, you know, have a certain kind of inherent realism or sort of like dramatic emphasis in order to portray their emotions and their, you know, their sort of character's position.
Of course, drama is very important for comics, but as is English. And since the three things you need when making manga is art, drama, and language, English skills, it was between the three, and I'm quite probably over dramatic, so I have quite a bit of experience in that department and stuck with the art and the English.
One of the requirements of the competition was that you had to fit it into 6 pages. This seems to be a very kind of British way of making comics, because the 2000 AD tradition, which seems to be our only continuing comic for the last 30 years, has serialized stories that are sort of in 6-page chunks, and then one-offs as well that are an entire story in 6 pages. Was that something that you'd been a fan of before manga? Or
I think one of the biggest differences between Japanese manga and UK manga is series tend to go longer in Japan, and yeah, as you said, it's very British and quite American, in fact, Tokyo Pop, to have a page constraint. So that was quite difficult to get used to at first, because I was inspired purely by Japan at first. But the scene is slightly different in the UK and in America, so you have to take in those UK and American rules as well. So it's quite difficult at first, but once you get used to it, it's cool.
The reputation that manga and anime has had in this country seems to have been rehabilitated a lot recently by the release of, say, Miyazaki movies. But before that, in the 90s, there was all these sort of violent sci-fi manga like Akira and Fist of North Star. Looking at your work, it seems to be very sort of like human and very funny. Was that a genre that you were sort of more interested in, or are you also into the sort of the sci-fi stuff as well?
I enjoy basically any type of manga, but I started off with shonen manga, which is full of wacky, crazy characters. And then from there, I went back and watched some of the stuff from the early 90s. And yes, it's good to have a... If you want to create something, you have to have a good understanding of it from different times, so then you can appeal to those audiences. So I have a deep respect for the early 90s stuff, even though it isn't my most favourite, but I do have a deep respect for the earlier stuff.
What other manga projects are you working on now?
I'm working on a series called Subspirit. It's only going to be a 3-issue, although the board over there seems to have said it was a 13-issue. I hope I don't have to stick to that. But
have you got another 10 episodes worth of stuff that you could get in there?
I don't, because I've been told that if I want to make it, I'm going to need to have a nice complete story, but nothing too short. So that's why these 3 issues, which are each going to be 40 pages, so 120 pages in total. It's going to be a 120-page thing that I could probably compile into an anthology, a full tankobon book eventually.
I mean, 120 pages is still quite a lot to tell a story.
It'll take a couple of years. I'm doing it slowly on and off of college, and also I'm getting some minor commissions now. I've only started getting those recently. It's quite good. So I need to prove to my mum that I'm getting some kind of income in order to carry on with this.
So you'd like to be a professional manga artist then?
More than anything. It's what I aspire to do.
Have you had any interesting encounters in the careers advice office at school?
Oh, I don't even bother with them, because they won't not begin to understand. Yeah, it's very academic. There's no passion there. But I did meet someone who inspired me once, Takashi Okazaki, who made Afro Samurai. I met him at an expo, and because hardly anyone really knew Afro Samurai, I got to hang out with him a bit, which is very rare for a random English guy to hang out with some like famous mangaka. And yeah, I got to learn a lot from him, and it was amazing. Yeah, and I want to meet him again someday in Japan if I ever go there. So I have something to aspire to in terms of that stuff.
When it comes to the props in your stories, like the fish and the noodles, do you use photo reference? I'm just thinking, because you won a camera in this competition, is it going to come in useful in making your work?
It may well do. I'm not very good with technology, but I'll make a big effort to get this used. I don't use much photo reference. I know I really should. It's not a matter of... It's nothing to do with I'm worried about making it look too similar and getting people shouting at me going, hey, it looks too similar to something that exists. It's mainly because I want to get down to drawing, and if I don't draw instantly, it may affect me. Like, I might not be able to concentrate as well. So I don't really have the time... or I don't have the patience to go and look up all these pictures. But if it's something that I really find tricky, then I'll look it up.
Because also, the style of character design in your work seems to be very sort of cartoony and caricature. Do you find that that's a better way of kind of portraying the character's emotions than something that's heavily rendered or trying to be sort of photorealistic?
Yeah, absolutely. I try to vary the characters as much as I can so that there's something there for everyone. A series I'm really inspired by is One Piece, and you get these strange, giant, sphere-like characters in it. They're like, or maybe these really lanky, super tall characters, or maybe minuscule people like that have, like, I don't know, like peg legs and crazy, because it's about pirate manga. I've been very inspired by that, so I like to do loads of different characters, each that vary greatly, and then some are wacky, some not so wacky, but it's good to balance it out. If I had more than 6 pages, I could have perhaps added more characters. So, yeah.
when it comes to your 120-page epic, there's going to be a greater sort of spectrum of...
There will be a greater spectrum, but I'd like to focus... I'd like to gain an emotional connection with the reader and the main two or three characters. So there won't be as many as I would have liked to do in future projects. For now, three main characters, six or seven supporting characters. Yeah.
I mean, you're studying English as well. What traditional literature are you into?
I enjoyed Catcher in the Rye. It's good stuff. I learned a lot from that. We'd just done Deathless Salesman. Wasn't so keen on that. Measure for Measure, we done that. Wasn't so keen on that either. But I might read the Manga Shakespeare version of that if that ever comes out. That'd be quite interesting. See it from a new perspective. But yeah, that's what I'm currently reading. I don't have much time to read unless it's in school. So, yeah.
But any books that particularly stayed with you?
I love the Harry Potter series. I think that's like the equivalent of shonen manga in the UK. Because we've got the story about a boy who's like got an enemy and he's got to conquer evil and stuff like that. So, yeah, I like Harry Potter. And I used to read series of Unfortunate Events, but I just kind of, yeah.
Thanks a lot. That's cool.
No problem.
I'm talking to Asia Alfassi, who's one of the winners of the Manga Jiman competition to launch new manga artists in the UK. I've read your strip. I mean, obviously, there's a strong autobiographical aspect to it. So, something that manga seems to deal with a lot is crossing international borders, sort of like gender borders, as opposed to, say, traditional comics, which seem to be very sort of male, geek-orientated. Was that something that attracted you to the genre when you were growing up?
Of course, growing up, we were exposed to manga and anime in Arabic. You know, they had been taken and dubbed into Arabic, and what they had done is taken the big classics or classic stories such as like Victor Hugo's stories and everything, so all the classics which have been converted into anime in Japan, and they'd broadcast that. So there was that element of true storytelling, of in the same way that you read books here, or people get attached to books, classic books, we got attached to classic anime and manga. So we grew up with that kind of way that it means a lot, that it's the stories within that are tackled in manga, they're real stories, they're huge emotional stories, they can be absolute epics. Maybe this is why we didn't like comics in the UK or say DC, Marvel as much, because to us they seem very shallow in comparison. So yeah.
So when you grew up in Libya, manga is as accepted there as, say, it is in Japan, that you could be as happy reading a manga as you would just traditional literature, as opposed to, say, the slightly snotty attitude that people have over here?
Actually, this is a big point and a big difference. There, they do not have manga. So, as in, published in books, they do not have it at all. And one of the it all comes in anime form, and that is dubbed into Arabic, which is one thing that I want to change in the future, which is to bring actual anime books and translate them into Arabic so that Arabs will then, maybe after reading all this stuff, start producing something in return and give something back and communicate with this other culture instead of just being receivers, instead of just being consumers.
At the risk of saying that you're, you know, sort of the zeitgeist at just the right time, with the release of Persepolis in the cinema shortly, and Ruti Modan's Exit Wounds, there seems to be a lot of interest in Middle Eastern creators. I mean, do you think it's a part of the world that's actually been neglected for sort of comics and animation up until now?
Well, of course, like you said, the Middle East at the moment, it's a big area of change and happenings and turbulence. And I'm living, you know, like the political atmosphere here, I'm living it there when I go visit. And I feel that there's a huge lack of communication that needs to be addressed. There's a huge amount of misunderstandings that I want to address, irrespective of whether, you know, like who's producing what at the moment. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I've always aimed to, you know, dedicate my work to. So I wouldn't ever draw something for no reason. It will always have to try to have some kind of message, because I believe it's really, really needed at this moment. There's a whole load of stuff being said about the clash of civilizations. I do not feel it has to be that way, and it needs to be reversed.
Well, and particularly with the younger generation, manga actually seems to have taken a real foothold in the West as opposed to, say, you know, American comics. Do you think that's because it addresses so many kind of genres and issues that people don't feel that, oh, if it's comics, it must be superheroes. If it's manga, it could be anything.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that comics in general have, because for decades, at least in the Western world, they've been completely monopolized by males. So males would draw for males, and all the content would be male-orientated. So it's a very exclusive genre. While manga, if you go to Japan, everybody reads manga. There are genres all over the place. Again, all the classics. It's like books. If there was only one type of book available, one genre, then no people will, you know, it wouldn't be seen as something that for every person at all. It'd be a very exclusive thing, so it would be like just the nerds, for example. But because there is such a huge coverage, books that cover all sorts of genres, all sorts of things, it is very popular, and it's a brilliant method of communication. In the same way, if manga and comics in the UK take on and address issues and, of all sorts of people and society members and genres, then I believe it will explode.
When did you read your first print manga? Because you said you grew up watching the anime versions. When did you hold the first manga comic in your hand?
I think when I was 12 years old, so I was like 1987, I was in school, and that was the story that I drew for the manga G-Man. Okay. So that I saw for the first time that a manga format, actually the anime that I was watching in Libya, it has roots in print, and that it is a book, and it made such a difference. Because before then, when I tried to draw or learn to draw, it was a case of look at the screen while the images are moving and try to quickly learn while they move or before they move, you know, sort of like you have split seconds of trying to realize things. But then you have this book and the images aren't moving, so the learning rate increased very, very rapidly. So, and that's why I would go back to that point. That's why I think it's very important for the Arab world to start having printed manga in, you know, print form, so that it will increase and very enhance the speed at which comic and manga creators in the Arab world learn and produce work in return.
I mean, when you compare print manga to, say, anime, there seems to be a closer link than, say, Western comics and cartoons. Because manga has sort of depictions of movement through sort of speed lines and things. And the way a lot of manga is set up, it seems to be a lot more cinematic, that it'll be paced like a movie rather than paced like a traditional comic.
Yes, most definitely. When you read a manga book, and this one of the biggest things that drew me to the books at the very beginning, you read a lot of storybooks, and I did read comics and all sorts of like Tintin comics and everything before I found the first manga. And none of them at all caught and ensnared in the same way that manga does, because you are watching a movie. You are just watching a movie. And being able to do that, being able to direct a huge movie in a way, and chances are, if it is successful, the thing is, you mentioned anime and the transition from anime to manga. When you read manga, it reads like a movie. It's so much more easier to translate into anime, I think, than sort of normal comics, because it is already moving. Yes, it's already moving. So seeing it on screen is just the natural next step.
I mean, obviously, when you read your first manga, it was a profound moment, and so, you know, you've immortalized it now in your own drawings. When it came to entering this competition, was it fairly obvious from the start that that was the story that you wanted to tell, or did you go through a whole process? It's like, oh, I should do one about this, or I should do one about that.
To tell you the truth, I was going through a big slump just before, for a longish kind of time. I hadn't taken part in any competition for 2 years. And when I suddenly came out of it, and I was like, okay, I'll prove to myself that I can do this, that I can do whatever. What is there around me that I can do? And then I saw the manga G-Man. I had 3 days to draw, finish the story. I hand-delivered it on the day. So I finished it at 1 p.m., went to the train station, got a train from Birmingham to London just to hand it in. I was like, please, look, I handed it in on the day. And
that seemed to be a very British thing. Terrible with deadlines.
No, we get them, we're prompt.
We get them,
we're prompt. Yes.
11th hour deadlines.
Yes, most definitely. Well, at least that's how I am, all my deadlines. And everything that I do, I try to have prayed in manga. That's the thing, the only thing that caught me, that manga G-Man means prayed in manga. Why am I proud? A lot of people say, oh, manga, you're just jumping on the bandwagon, you're just like, actually, no, there's a bigger message. Instead of trying to look shallowly at something, there's something here we can do, there's something here that we can really invest in, and invest into bring a lot of very positive national and international benefit, much bigger than, you know, just telling a story or just entertainment. And I just wanted to tell that and show that.
Well, I mean, the fact that the prize giving ceremony tonight is at the Japanese embassy and the exhibition here as well shows the kind of cultural significance that manga seems to be taking off, not just because it's become a medium that's increasingly popular with the young, but because it actually is represented, recognized as an art form as well.
I do not see how anybody can not recognize it as an art form. I mean, you have to be...
Well, I suppose just because looking at the other side of manga, when people buy manga in Japan, it is in these very disposable kind of weekly magazines that people couldn't possibly keep every issue of because there are just so many thousands of pages of them. And so they buy them, read it, chuck it out, buy another one the next week. So it's that balance between the two.
It's stages. So as in, for them to have reached this stage, it didn't start, you know, like yesterday and suddenly it didn't start disposable from the very beginning. So I think that, say, in the UK, we'd have to go through these stages to reach that kind of level, and we've got a long way to go before it becomes such a natural thing every day. You know, like, its creation here is not as abundant, and it's not as supported, it's not as... So, of course, it's going to be treated with more, like, oh, my God, look, a manga, when you see it. Well, in Japan, it's like, you mean there's no manga? You know, so, like, you know, it's completely different, and it goes through stages, demographically, I think. Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of talk, when the judges were talking about the manga tonight, about having it as a digital artifact as well as something that's hand-drawn, maybe because a lot of kids are coming to art through a computer interface these days rather than pen and paper. Are you going to use your new Toshiba laptop to create new manga on?
Well, the thing is, if you see the exhibition, I have included, that you'll find that there's a huge difference between my originals and the outcome, that I do quite a lot of the toning and the lettering, of course, on the computer, so it is a 50-50 thing. As for the internet, I want as many people to read my work as possible, so I mean to have all of it, if possible, free online for them to read. So if that can increase readership, then hey, yeah, why not? As for using computer to create artwork, this is something that is becoming more and more and more increasing, especially as buying the tools, the actual physical tools, is a lot more costly to keep doing again and again and again. And it's, you know, it's disposable. Well, this is, you can regenerate it again and again and again. So it's much cheaper option, and it's more sustainable.
And also, reading your little biography on the wall by the original art, you entered a cartoon competition when you were young and never got the original artwork back. So
yes, absolutely.
So that's the other benefit.
Yeah,
so reproduction.
That shall always remain in my mind as one of the stupidest things I have ever done. And it was just like a proud moment when I finished it, and it was again like sent on the same day of the deadline thing, and then never to get it back again. But yeah, never to be done again.
Well, hopefully lots of people will see your stuff now on the back of this. And what's the next project you're working on?
I have a 2-book deal with Bloomsbury. Hopefully the first book will be released at the end of the year. It's not exactly manga, though. Yes, manga influenced. It's completely different from the work that is on here at the moment. Again, there's many, maybe 1,001 messages that I've put in there. And it is really a call to exchange ideas and thoughts and start some kind of dialogue, and I hope that it achieves its purpose.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm talking to Gillian Ha, who won the Manga Jimin competition. How does it feel?
It still hasn't sunk in yet. I haven't got anything planned, just because,
Something that seems to come up a lot tonight is that people who entered this competition, it was very much a last-minute thing. I mean, how long have you been drawing manga and sort of entering competitions like this?
I've been drawing since I was 12, but I've never had the confidence to enter anything until recently. And it was, I think, just kind of having finished uni and decided that I really need to start making a living for myself. And this, for years, has been the only thing I've wanted to do. So winning this competition, it means the world, I should say.
What course did you do at uni? Was it an art-based one, or was manga something you did in your spare time?
It was both. I tried to integrate manga into my course. All the time, sneakily, teachers tell me no, and I can understand the reason for that now, but I always had the incentive to do what I wanted to do. So I studied illustration and animation, but mainly illustration.
So did you exhibit work while you were at college? I mean, was that something that gave you greater confidence in what you were doing?
It gave me actually less confidence because I started questioning whether manga was right for me.
I was talking to Paul earlier about how manga can be found in so many different countries and that Chinese manga is something that's becoming increasingly popular. Was it something that you were aware of, or was it Japanese manga in particular that you were a fan of as you were growing up?
I've always been interested in kind of sort of the Japanese manga, but I was introduced to sort of more Western comics as a kid, sort of stuff like Disney and their little anthologies and stuff. But I suppose I'm just in love with the way the Japanese tell their stories and their style. It's very thorough, and you know, I've heard criticisms about the Japanese style, that it takes forever to get one story, like several volumes to get one story completed. But I believe it's the best way to tell something, and it's like watching a movie almost.
Well, because obviously there's a huge number of ways that you can pace manga. I mean, something like Akira goes on for 3,000 pages, you know.
Yeah.
And it really is like watching the storyboards of the film sort of broken down at 5-second intervals or something. But then other manga, and presumably something that you had to be very aware of this competition, is to fit a whole story into 6 pages.
Mm. Yeah, that was a bit tough. So I just had to think about the most simplest of ideas, literally. Which was just an unusual fish being found on the beach, and go from there, really.
Where did that idea first come from?
It came from when I was flicking through a sort of a tourist guide book, actually, which I bought initially for reference for another competition, a manga for another competition. And there was a karatsuwa pot design in that, and it had an image of a fish on it. And I just really fell in love with it. And also, I've been really fond of Daruma and stuff, which are the sort of a Buddhist whose arms and legs have dropped off from becoming enlightened too much. Well, not to say too much, but becoming enlightened.
One thing about your style, though, is it's a sort of very kind of heavily rendered calligraphic style as compared to the more sort of cartoony caricature that's associated a lot with manga. Do you think that comes from your illustration background, or because you felt that your story, because it's more sort of thoughtful and metaphorical, it requires a more photorealistic rendering?
Probably that, yeah. When I drew it, I didn't really think about the sort of rendering style at all. I just kind of felt, and that kind of way of making the lines and stuff just came out. I mean, I've worked with kind of more cleaner lines before and stuff, and more expressive other times, and I just find my sort of way of drawing, it develops or changes and varies from manga to manga.
So it's very much dictated by the story and the kind of the emotions of the story that you want to tell.
Yeah, it is. Perhaps that comes from the illustration background itself, my teachers and my brain sort of telling me do this.
Well, there seems to be very much an increasing crossover between illustration and comic-style sequential art. I mean, the winner of the Observer comics competition that was printed a few months ago, she's a professional illustrator. And when you think of famous British, say, children's illustrators, Raymond Briggs is as much an illustrator of kids' books as he is a comic book artist, and yet no one seems to refer to him as the latter. Manga seems to have created a greater kind of appreciation of comic books as a medium, because comics in this country seem to be something that people grow out of and then it becomes a niche interest. While manga seems to have this international appeal that appeals to all ages, all genders. What do you think it is about manga that the format offers that more sort of traditional pamphlet comics don't?
I think it offers a lot more from the heart, really, and because I think creators from Japan and something, they were given, it was after Hiroshima and all that, the depression of the war, wasn't it? And so they drew from their heart to make things very, you know, personal and to get over that. So I believe manga is special because of its origins. And that's why I don't mean to diss the other comics and stuff, but I think that's feel that's kind of what Western comics are lacking in slightly sometimes, except for more indie ones that I've read.
I mean, the dissemination of artists' work, I mean, in this country, it seems to be very difficult because you've got, say, the kids' books illustrations, you've got something like 2000 AD that comes out every week, but then what else is there? I think manga seems to be opening new doors that perhaps weren't there only a few years ago.
Oh, definitely. I've been getting into French comics recently, particularly Guy Delisle. I really loved his book on Pyongyang, the North Korea, and it's just a really personal journey as well as informative. And yeah, I thought I learned a lot from it.
But at the same time, when you think of British comics, they seem to be very much compressed storytelling. Things like 2000 AD, you have to tell a story in 6 pages. Was that something you were aware of when it came to crafting this story? Or was the short page length a bit of a struggle for you?
I wouldn't say it was a struggle at all, really, because I kept my idea as simple as possible. And to be honest, I was drawing manga for another competition at home, so it was a kind of last-minute decision to enter this one, and I only had a week to do it. It was a very intensive week, though.
What were the rules for the other competition? Was it something that could cross over quite easily between your two entries?
No, it's quite different styles. The entry for my other one was Japanese-based, and it's basically expressing sort of that, because some people say that they don't feel it's right for a Westerner or someone to be born in Britain to be able to draw a comic which is set in Japan. And I thought, well, the Japanese can do anything they want, why can't we? So I drew that comic as a to say something against that. It didn't get in though, but that's all right.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that manga seems to reflect the sort of Western hegemony of taking things from other cultures and mixing it all together and making something that everyone enjoys. But certainly, manga as a format seems to be something that does embrace other cultures, as opposed to comics, which seem to be very kind of like country-specific. The fact that you can have someone from Hong Kong who lives in Britain doing a Japanese-style comic, someone from Libya who lives in Scotland doing a Japanese-style comic, but yet there's something still recognisable about the format that envelops the term manga that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be Japanese comics.
It's patience, really. It's having the patience to tell a story carefully and passionately, and you know, care for the reader and take them on a journey in such a way that, you know, as much in a certain way as possible, really.
I mean, you said that this has become such a surprise that you've not really thought of future projects, but at the back of their mind, there must be some kind of... Is there an epic manga graphic novel in you that's waiting to get out, or are you just going to continue sort of making illustrations and see where you go?
I have a few longer stories, as well as shorter ones, but right now I really need the practice, so I'm concentrating on shorter stories and one-offs, just to get over that.
One of the other finalists I spoke to apparently already has a publishing deal. Hopefully this will open some extra doors for you. I mean, have you approached any publishers so far with your work, or you're waiting till you've got enough of a portfolio that you're happy with that you can then sort of take it en masse?
Several publishers have come to me, so yeah, I'm very happy about that, and that'll keep me busy for a year or two, hopefully. As for my portfolio, it was kind of put together last minute today, because I'm always working on stuff, it's always changing.
But you seem to be happy at least with what you've done so far.
Yeah, because I can really feel, especially through doing manga, that my work is growing. I mean, I had a period of time where I just wasn't producing that much, and in a bit of a manga artist kind of rut, as it were, instead of a drawing rut, I just couldn't think of what to do, and now I'm by entering these competitions and stuff, it's kind of incentive to do better and better and, you know, change the world one day, hopefully.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Azia, Gillian and Michael's manga are on display in the Japanese embassy until the end of March, and you can find links to the embassy and also the artists' websites at www.panelborders.com if you click on the link marked blog. Thanks for listening.